We make our prayer in the name of that God whose name is peace and decency and unity and love. The sun broke through the clouds on the 17th of May. They gathered in the parking lot, bowed their heads to pray. Father in the heavens, won't you show us the way that we might study war no more? George and Father Phil recruited the nine in the town of Catonsville, addressed the country's crimes. Lay down your sword, so said the Lord. Now is the time that we might study war no more. War no more. War no more. Lay down your sword, so said the Lord, and study war no more. They entered the building, seized the records marked A1, ignited them with napalm to end what had begun. As the files burned, they said, thy will be done, that we might study war no more. War no more. War no more. Lay down your sword, so said the Lord, and study war no more. That song is called the Catonsville Nine, or War No More. It's by Joe Filippo. It seemed appropriate on this week following the 50th anniversary of the Catonsville Nine action. I am Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. We are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, also at revolution.radio, and on our own site, newdream.us, where you can also find some archive shows. Revolution Radio is listener-supported, and they deserve your support. They keep two streams of music going pretty much 24/7, and a lot of great radio shows on here, a lot of great radio hosts. And hey, head on over to freedomslips.com and slip them a donation for freedom. I'm proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Well, hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Richard Flamer, Thomas Wortman, James Fetzer, Frank Cordero, and Phil Ferruzio. For this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, Northern Minnesota, in Des Moines, in Port Orange, Florida, in Cleveland, in Madison, in San Cristobal de las Casas, and wherever you are. My recommended, The Midnight Rider News, with articles and interviews by S.P. Patrick.
Hello, working stiffs. It's all over now, baby, red, white, and blue. You know, the lyrics of Bob Dylan. Leave your stepping stones behind. Something calls for you. Forget the dead you've left. They will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door is standing in the clothes that you once wore. Strike another match. Go start anew. It's all over now, baby blue. Dylan's song of 1965. How appropriate they are now in America, 2018. We have finally become a damaged empire due to a mega variety of reasons. Foremost is the delusion of far too many of us that we, a nation victimized by forces of terror outside of our influence. Well, anyone who takes the time to turn away from the narcotics of electronic gadgetry, 24-hour sports, sexual delights, addictive cigarettes, alcohol, and other drugs of preference, along with the mainstream media's embedded with empire phony news, all those things would make you see that our nation is a role model for terrorism. As we float aimlessly into the narrow straits of both rational and individual economic, national and economic, individual economic turmoil, even bankruptcy, the movers and shakers of this empire laugh all the way from their well-secured gated communities to their banks and investment houses. Can this all not be a dream, contrary to what most Eastern philosophies teach? After all, could George Orwell have written a better story with a reality television star becoming president? As with those lemmings who thought the Gordon Gekko character in Oliver Stone's film Wall Street was sacrosanct in his belief that greed is good, so too those with but a pot to piss in followed almost religiously a billionaire, so-called populist demagogue, who peddled the same crap. He did not drain the swamp. Rather, he filled it with more super-rich, greed-is-good muck. Yet it only shows how much our American populace can continue to take from an enema bag overloaded with... Anyway, we who love the country we grew up in and see through this con job, signed off by the two halves of our two political scam, we have a civic duty to stand and say no more. One afternoon a few short years ago, as my 85-year-old peace activist friend John and I stood outside our library holding signs to protest this military empire, a lady from Germany came up to us. She complimented us on our activism, and she made a cogent point. She said, "You know, you Americans have so much to be angry with concerning this government and its phony wars, yet you have but two of you standing out here each week. If this was Germany and my country did what yours has done, there would literally be 1,000 people out here with you." Well, it seems that my fellow citizens have become too comfortable living in this feudal society. Psychologists refer to this kind of mindset as that of enabling. How many Appalachians must there be on the street corners of our nation before we all get wise? Thank you.
And now, and now, cue the Rimsky-Korsakov, please. And now for another episode of Professor Rutherford B. Roswell's Conspiracy Corner. We find Professor Rutherford P. Roswell sitting at home, getting ready to begin his weekly podcast from his basement. He has his computer and his headset and professional-looking microphone with the fireplace glowing in front of him and his English sitter, Apollo, lying on the carpeted floor, feet straight in the air, sound asleep. Professor Roswell checks the time on the computer, sips his drowsy time tea, swivels in his chair and draws the Crown Royal single malt from the glass case, turns back, sprinkles a dash into the tea and sets the bottle on the floor near his feet. Around him on the walls are photos of Roswell and the important people he has interviewed over the decades. He receives an email notification from the network telling him the show will start soon. He smiles as he types salutations to the many listeners now showing up in the chat room from around the world. Skagway, hello. Roslyn, hi there all. Sleepmute, hello. College Station, Beverly Hills, Barstow, Columbia Heights, Foggy Bottom, Rocky Top, Bear Creek, Sandy Holler, Alsace, Genoa, Venice, Vicksburg. Hello, hello, welcome, hello. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now with your host, Professor Rutherford P. Roswell, it's time again for Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and slowly fall asleep. Sleep. Sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk. Sleep. Sleep. drowsy time tea, forget about it, and sleep.
You, stop whatever it is you're doing. It really doesn't matter. As long as the persistent lie about the JFK, RFK, and MLK murders persist in this country, nothing you do, working out, going to work, eating, sleeping, talking, none of it matters. Really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. None of it matters. You do not matter. Hello, hello, hello. Hi, welcome to all. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go right to it, shall we? America's word is worthless. We can now dismiss all hope that Trump's campaign promises to pull out of Syria, normalize relations with Russia, and stop the offshoring of American jobs will ever become U.S. policies. By dishonoring the U.S. government's word, pulling out of the Iran Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement, an agreement signed by the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, Russia, China, and Iran, President Trump has revealed that his regime is totally in the hands of the Zionist warmongers. It was already evident, but America's renewal alone in the world of the fabricated conflict with Iran is proof that U.S. foreign policy is in the hands of Israel. All you have to do is watch Nikki Haley, U.S. ambassador to the U.N., groveling at the feet of AIPEC. Watch U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo groveling at the feet of Netanyahu. See the glee all over the face of neoconservative Israeli agent John Bolton, the national security advisor to the President of the United States. From his realization that his conflict agenda with Iran has prevailed. Indeed, the entire Trump regime are such dedicated grovelers at Israel's feet that the Trump regime comes across as a barbaric tribe groveling before the King of Kings. Washington's major European vassals said they will stick to the agreement. We will see if they can withstand the pressures and the sums of money that we've thrown at them to change their minds. This means a new test for Russia. Can the Russian government stand the destabilization of Iran any more than it can the destabilization of Syria? Can Russia again muster the determination to protect her southern flank? One wonders if Trump's ill-considered decision has finally caught Putin, Lavrov, and the Atlanticist integrationists who have for so long resisted reality that the agreements that they so desperately want to make with Washington are completely worthless before they even make them. Will Russia finally wake up, stop inviting more dangerous situations by her extraordinary indecisiveness? If Putin doesn't put his foot down, he's going to get us all killed.
Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and slowly fall asleep. Sleep. Sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk or not. Sleep. Sleep. Drowsy time tea. Forget about it and just sleep. And now for another episode of The Adventures of Orson B. Riddle, crisis actor of Paducah.
Inside his little house, on the walls, above the TV, an Xbox, and a brown frame, is his membership certificate to the Crisis Actors Guild. And on the kitchen table, he still has to mail it yet, is his membership application to the Propaganda Movie Actors Association. His suitcase lays wide open on the bed because he just got home from Florida and you can't really see the stickers he's collected from Oklahoma, Texas, California, New York, Boston, Connecticut, Nevada. Orson P. Riddle usually only gets 1, 2, or maybe 3 days at home, so it's time to pack his makeup, get head bandages, prosthetic, and go on to the next big event. For 3 years, he worked at Walmart, and then he saw this ad on Craigslist. He's never looked back. It's a nice day. Orson is sitting in a tree in his backyard, listening to music on his headphones, eating graham crackers. The Uber pulls up in front of his little house. Orson watches the car. Looks like one of those. It's purple. Maybe, could be a RAV? RAV4? 3? It's purple. The driver beep beeps, then honks one time loud, then pulls away. That was Orson's ride to the next big event. He got the notice 2 hours ago. He was supposed to be ready. He's been reading stuff on the internet, even though he's really not supposed to. Just supposed to watch the TV at close to full volume all day long and wait for the telephone. So he was supposed to be ready when the Uber arrived. That's when he decided he wasn't ready and climbed the tree with the almost full box of graham crackers and his music.
Join us next week for yet another episode of Orson B. Riddle, Crisis Actor of Paducah. Sponsored by Quick Dry Oats. Hardens to a cement block in your stomach within minutes. Because you never know when you're going to get a good hard kick in the gut. We're there for you. On the job, on the weekend, even when you sleep. Because these days, you really never know when the big hit is going to come. Now do you? We're Quick Dry Oats of Northeast Minneapolis.
Oh, man, I think I ate too many of those Quick Dry Oats.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm hold of your love in my heart. To feel you all around me and to take your hand along the sand. Ah, but I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile. And everywhere I'd look, your eyes I'd find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing. 'Twould make me sing. Ah, but I may as well try and catch the wind. When rain has hung the leaves with tears, I want you near to kill my fears, to help me to leave all my blues behind. For standing in your heart, is where I want to be and long to be. But I may as well try and catch the wind. But I may as well try and catch the wind.
I will be satisfied if the Federation of Secret Law, Unequal Pardon, and Irresistible Executive Powers that rule the world that I love are revealed even for an instant. You can't come up against the world's most powerful intelligence agencies and not accept the risk. I know the media likes to personalize political debates, and I know the government will demonize me. I understand that I would be made to suffer for my actions, at that the return of this information to the public marks my end. There's no saving me. The only thing I fear is the harmful effects on my family, who I won't be able to help anymore. That's what keeps me up at night. I do not expect to see home again. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Edward Snowden, Jedi Warrior, and we will see the brave Jedi disclose the really good shit he's been saving, and not just the stuff everybody already knew. He will tell us once and for all who did 9/11, Oklahoma City, and who killed Senator Paul Wellstone, and who killed John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. And why are the murderers still running around like they were born to rule the world, instead of showering once a week in the Supermax federal prison in Florence, Colorado? The stuff we really want to know. Not just the shit everybody already knows already. Edward Snowden, Jedi Warrior. Now stay tuned for the New American Dream Something Something Playhouse Theater, sponsored by General Electric. Tonight we hear the voice of a legendary American journalist who covered the civil rights movement up close and now reports on the Bush and Obama and Trump misdeeds. That writer, journalist, real newspaperman is Sherwood Ross. Ross was and is an actual reporter who did not lie to us. The United States is slipping into dictatorship as it is spending gigantic amounts of money for wars instead of internal issues. The country is being run by the military-industrial complex. This country is slipping into dictatorship. The people of the world have got to be made aware that it is dangerous. It is armed and dangerous. U.S. authorities are spending $700 billion for war. They're spending, by contrast, $500 million for the Peace Corps. Those figures have got to be turned around. Why don't we hear about shootings in Glencoe, Winnetka, and Wilmette, Illinois, and in the well-to-do suburbs? That's because there's no poverty in those suburbs. That's because people aren't struggling with other people for the basic necessities of life. Aristotle's quotation saying poverty is the parent of crime and revolution is true. We do not have a president, and we have not had presidents who will address the problems of the inner cities, Ross said. Unless we have a president who will do something for people of color in our country, who will improve the schools, who will improve the job opportunities, who will improve the housing, who will give people a reason to live with dignity and respect, we are not going to have an end to the gun culture. Even if we were to pass 100 laws banning guns, it would not end. We need a more fundamental change than that. Thank you. This has been the New American Dream Something Something Playhouse Theater, sponsored by General Electric. Tonight we heard the voice of a legendary American journalist, Sherwood Ross. Ross was and is an actual reporter who did not lie to us. Thank you.
of freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest for the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Last week, we talked to Frank in Baltimore. I'm not sure where he is now. I guess we'll find out. Chuck talked to Frank earlier today, and we're going to listen to that conversation right about now. Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Well, I'm recovering from a trip out to the East Coast.
You're back home?
I spent the weekend in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I did that for the 50th anniversary of the Catonsville Nine. And I was there. I just turned the fan off. I just got back yesterday, and I'm recouping a long time back and forth. But gosh, it was so cool. To remind your listeners, the Kingsville Nine were a group of Catholics who, in 1968, started a movement, a direct action movement to destroy draft cards at draft boards. And it was a predominantly Catholic group led by the Berrigans, my rabbis. And I was able to, I was just so fortunate to be selected to be one of three keynote addresses people throughout the weekend. And the other two was Amy Goodman and Kathy Kelly. So I was in remarkable company, to say the least. And with the 50-year anniversary, all three of us were young kids when these things happened, in high school or younger. Amazing. But we were probably there, some of the younger people who attended. Just a remarkable gathering of a lot of old and very cherished friends who for the most part, many of them have not quit. They're in lots of ways doing, continuing to do social justice action. And to begin with, everyone was excited about the most recent plowshares that took place on April 4th. The King Bay plowshares, folks in Georgia, went into a Trident submarine base and did some witnessing there with blood and hammer and boat cutters to get through fences. And they're all in custody looking at major felonies.
Among these people arrested was Elizabeth McAllister, 78 years old, Phil Berrigan, wife. And Liz was very much a part of the Cainesville Nine, that's for sure. And a number of Catholic workers. It's a really a blessing. So we'll be following them and supporting them. So much news outside of Des Moines. What's coming here the following weekend, not this weekend, but the following one on Saturday, Armed Forces Day, and we're going to be returning to the Drone Command Center here, and I'll be risking arrest as others, and we're starting our campaign second year to get some attention to this place that literally they're killing people 24/7 from space.
Yeah,
in Des Moines, Iowa, and many other places. And this is the 19th of May is Armed Forces Day, and one of the things I'm going to say is that these computer geeks are not warriors. They're not armed forces. They're not in the same category. We've got to pay attention. You can't kill people so easily from so far a distance and then go shopping in our super values and go to our movies and go to our churches. And in this state, if you're in the military, you're in the most cherished and highest institution. The majority of Iowans put more faith in the U.S. military than their churches. Now that, my friend, is a fascist culture.
That's pretty bad.
That's what we got to deal with. Yeah. So that's my news from Des Moines.
Well, Frank, I have a question that I've been playing with in my head for quite some time, and I'm wondering how much the Catholic workers work with the American Friends Service Committee.
Well, we used to have a great peace office here in Des Moines. They since are no longer a funding a peace office, but our history has always been good to work with them. I think, and it depends on every city, but pretty much. Most of the big cities and the people when they're doing anti-war work or human rights stuff, Palestinian stuff, we often do joint stuff with the American Friends Service Committee. You bet. That's a great crowd.
Okay.
God, if the Catholics would put as much of their percentage of their church funds as the Quakers put in the American Friends Service, we'd have a universal peace movement that couldn't be stopped just because it's... The Quakers put a lot of money, their money, into that program. Amazing. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious.
All right, friend.
I went to a Quaker school for high school, you know, so I always kind of wonder, you know, things like that.
Quakers are just Catholics who don't like ritual.
There you go.
All right, brother. All right. We'll see you. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Frank, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
And now we bring you the new American Dream masterpiece, classic playhouse theater something something. Real voices with a message that you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News.
Mike Prisoner, Iraq War veteran. Excuse me. The real enemies are not in some distant land. They're not... people whose names we don't know, cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it is profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it is profitable. The insurance companies who deny us health care when it is profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it is profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They're right here at home. If we organize with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war. We can stop this government. We can create a better world.
And now we hear the voice of Philip F. Nelson, author of LBJ, The Mastermind of JFK's Assassination.
A man should be known for what he was, a world-class criminal. A thorough cleansing of the national conscience is in order after all these years to enable Americans to reconcile the personal tragedy suffered by John F. Kennedy, the national tragedy suffered by the country at large at the hands of Lyndon B. Johnson. Until the real story of the 36th president is exposed and the complete truth of his crimes against the United States and the world are acknowledged, there will always be questions lurking about the trustworthiness of the government itself.
And finally, the voice of William Pepper, attorney for Sirhan Sirhan, now attempting to be released from prison for the 1968 murder of Robert Kennedy on grounds that Sirhan was programmed to be a patsy and a decoy for the real killers in the Ambassador Hotel pantry that hot summer night.
The American people have been called by numbers of people all over the world as being the most dumbed-down population in Western civilization. Certainly, they're probably among the least politically and other ways sophisticated people in Western culture. That's no accident. It's no testimony to the lack of intelligence and potential of the citizens of this republic. It's a testimony to the control of thinking, the flow of information that people are allowed to have, the effects of the media, the thought control that has been developed in this country is extraordinary. It's very difficult to overcome. One wonders how long it's going to take for the uprising to occur. And I actually think we may be reaching a point where we're entering a pre-revolutionary stage.
Our next guest of the show is Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer joins us each month, each second week of every month, from the Catholic Worker in Mexico,
with you
and Cristobal de las Casas. And Chuck talked to Richard earlier, and
we're going to Sandy Hook.
Excuse me, we're having
Mike Adams of Natural News
with the
published an interview.
There we go. Sorry, Mike. Continue. I had a little bump, a little glitch there. Apologies.
Yep, that was Jim Fetzer's piece that's going to be coming up in the next. That's Jim Fetzer's piece that's going to be coming up in the next section. And right now we're going to hear again. It's Richard Flamer. And Richard Flamer comes to us the second week of every month from the Catholic Worker in San Cristobal de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico. And now Richard Flamer from Chiapas.
Nina Simone singing "Where the Chilly Winds Don't Blow" always starts my imagination soaring. My mind is not particularly orderly. I sometimes bring up memory. Other times it's the future. Occasionally the mundane. Expatriates, both intentional and forced, remind me of Ezra Pound, jailed after World War II in a small cage, exposed to the elements in Rapallo, Italy, by U.S. forces for his radio talks during the war. He lived outside for several weeks in a 6x6 cell, transferred to a tent with reading materials, only to be moved through the efforts of intellectuals and friends in the United States to St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital, where he completed some of his major poetic cantos. Eventually, he got out and fled to Europe, away from the vindictive U.S. forces. Dante Alighieri fled his native Florence during the 12th century, where he was condemned for his stance against his Catholic Church. He did get some small vengeance when he portrayed the Pope as suffering in one of his deep circles of hell in the Divine Comedy, which he was forced to write on the road or wherever he could find a friendly place to perch. In more recent times, Padre Lorenzo, Father Larry Rosebach, roaming Central and South America to live on the streets and makeshift camps, always at work with the poor in El Salvador, Brazil, Honduras, and Guatemala. on the occasions of his time in the U.S., most of the sustained periods were spent in federal prisons for his acting out his conscience in events like the burning of draft cards in Milwaukee and trespassing on the U.S. base for the school of the assassins, cutting the soldiers of Guatemala and El Salvador in the art of killing. I had occasion to visit Lorenzo in both Central America and Omaha. On my meeting Larry in Omaha, I took him back to my little bookstore along with two men we had met on the street. It was cold. Larry insisted that he would not go to the store where I also lived without his newfound friends, carrying all his belongings on black trash bags. I had my three companions rest for a while in the warm house. After gathering extra clothes, I suggested each of them take a bath and change into some clean clothes while I fixed a supper. At the meal, we all shared in great conversation. Knowing that none of the three had a warm coat, I asked the good father if he wanted one of mine. Again, he suggested that he couldn't accept it unless his two companions could also get one. So we all took off to a local Target store, where I bought three new coats, gloves, and caps. We all slept at my place, waking in the morning after breakfast, leaving for another day on the streets. I ran into Father Larry in El Salvador in a group of resettled refugees from the war. He was living in a cardboard hut, wakening early to take whatever was being served in the community kitchen for the day. Heading out in the fields each morning with his machete and bottle of water, where he worked all day alongside the women and men, struggling to grow enough to feed the main residents of the community. Again in Guatemala, where he served in a small mountain parish, living under three sheets of tin roofing. He was pulled from a band of other priests and shot at point-blank range, just shy of his retirement. He was playing the Say Adios to his friends amongst the repatriated refugees when he was halted. Deportees, sung by Willie Nelson, always finds me thinking of the deportees I've met on my travels. The taxi driver in San Cristobal, who spent 6 years in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, only to be expelled after most of the work was done. Pedro, a young man in his early 20s, lives now in Tennessee working as a dishwasher. Born in a refugee camp on the Guatemalan-Mexican border because his family were refugees from the Guatemalan Civil War. The family fled from a small valley in north-central Guatemala after a massacre of some 300 with nothing. The father of Pedro, a poor subsistence farmer, was not allowed to work in the refugee camp. So he sent his wife to a regional house of prostitution to make money for the family. While in the brothel, she contracted syphilis. Pedro found an opportunity after the refugees returned to their homeland to attend a small carpentry school, where he became a good carpenter after a year of the practical school. Returning to the Lambajos, his community in Guatemala, he had opportunities to work as a carpenter, but had constant confrontations with his father over the health of his mother. He fled to the U.S. some 6 months back. Roberto, a 30-something migrant, lives in our little community, not more than a city block away. He was in the U.S. for a couple of years, married, and had a son. Roberto's not the easiest guy to get along with, mostly because he whines a lot. He does, however, have a certain nobility when it comes to his child. The child, named Robert, was born in Atlanta, so he was an American citizen. Roberto, the father, was a migrant without papers. Roberto worked in landscaping, fell off some scaffolding, and was denied medical assistance. When he tried to get legal aid for his medical bills, his former employer turned him into immigration and was deported back to Mexico with his son. His son, at 8 years old, had an American education and was terribly smart, much smarter than any child in the local elementary school. Roberto determined that he would send Robert back to the States, so he saved his money, hired a coyote, and the father-son fled to the border. Roberto arranged for his brother, also without papers, but living in Los Angeles area, to take Robert and raise him. When Roberto tried to cross, he was picked up and deported back to Mexico. Now he sits in the shack and calls his son once a month to check on his welfare. James Lee Burke, in his novel Crusader's Cross, tells us, our moral failures lie in the frailty of our vision and not in our hearts. Walking in Memphis by Mark Cohen reminds me of all those who came before. The song is about the blues, but urges me to think not only of those blues and soul masters of song, Robert Johnson, Willie Dixon, B.B. King, Led Belly, Reverend Al Green, but also of my teachers, the men and women who came before me to educate, to mentor. My father, William Flamer, was just a regular guy who tried to do the right thing most of the time. A functional drunk, he protected abused women, meaning when he was drinking, getting picking strays from all walks of life, dogs, children, whoever needed his help. As I mentioned at his funeral service, he was filled with virtue, but also defined by his vices. Father Dale Rupiper was another great quiet teacher. He was a prophet with feet of clay. Daryl always prayed before and during any action which I was involved. He spent time in jail for his anti-nuclear demonstrations. The jail time was never easy for Daryl, but he survived. My strongest memory of him was a small mass at a homeless shelter presided by Daryl. It was a Christmas morning with four homeless men, four or five activists, and the presider. The homily was interactive, with Daryl talking about difficult decisions. His two sisters had knit sweaters for him that Christmas. He asked for help from those present to decide which one he should keep, since his vow of poverty precluded him from keeping more than one. As he explained, one of the homeless men picked up one of the sweaters. Padre, I'm here to relieve you of your burden. The man picked up the sweater and left the mass. Those songs keep my memories of the Vietnam War at bay. Politics of war, the violence of all wars, the rhetoric of politicians, the pseudo-patriotism. It all consumes me sometimes. As Ambrose Bierce so accurately said it, to be a gringo in Mexico, that's euthanasia. Over 200,000 have been killed in the last 10 years of the drug war in Mexico. In contrast, in the struggle for Basque independence in Spain, 800 have been killed in the last 50 years. 57,000 Americans died in the Vietnam War. Recent violence in Mexico has not spared the politicians. 80 candidates for office, along with a further 90 elected officials in the states of Guerrero, Oaxaca, Veracruz, and Mexico, have been killed in the last 8 months. All political parties have been affected. In a recent UNESCO report on the children of Mexico, the numbers are staggering. 3.6 million children live in poverty with less than 2 meals a day. 1.2 million under the age of 11 are working at cleaning windshields, churning shoes, running errands, and supporting their families. One of my favorite contemplative songs was written for the very first Barn Aid concert by my cousin Jimmy Fadden. Working Man by the Little Green Dirt Band speaks to the failings of an economic system. Yet I always ponder the grace of good lyrics, of doing good in small matters, or as William Blake has said in his gargantuan poem, Jerusalem, he who would do good to another must do it in minute particles. General good is the plea of the scoundrel, hypocrite, and flatterer. The example of Franz Jägerstatter during the Nazi occupation of his homeland reminds me of conscience. Franz, a religious man, refused to join the army at the height of World War II, insisting that he had the answer to his conscience. Not the state, not the Catholic priests, nor a local bishop, nor his family. He spent time in jail while good people tried to convince him to just go along. He was offered a post as a medic, yet turned it down as well. Knowing that he would be beheaded, he continued to pray and insist that he was only doing what he knew to be the right thing. He did not try to convert others. He did not cry out to other Catholics. He did not ask the priest whether or not supporting him. He simply honored his commitment to God. Lee Luber is a Jesuit. He's another man of great faith. His faith, however, was different from my other mentor. He balanced his love of the church with his passion for art in all forms. Diamond Scola TV, with all its various language channels, was only the last of a string of projects that impacted the world. As a young Jesuit, he roamed Europe, especially France, with Rostand Crawford, a major abstract painter, introducing modern art to the churches. As a founder of the art department at Creighton University, he was instrumental in bringing art to young people. He was, as well, a major sculptor with enough clout to work with Union Pacific Railroad in the old blacksmith shop to build huge pieces that are quite simply spectacular. He was my friend. He helped me along with my photography and assured me that I was one of God's chosen people. In hospice care, I went to visit with him and go to Mass. As I pushed him in his wheelchair into the small chapel, he nudged me and said, "That's one of my former students," pointing at the only young Jesuit in attendance. Six old Jesuits, not one young Jesuit in me. What a mass. Joyous it was. When I put him back in the bed, he assured me I was on the right road to redemption. I think of him often when I'm befuddled, talking to him sometimes in my prayers. Lee, how come God doesn't give us a road map? So what do you think?
I love the biographical picture. I don't know what to call them, but when you talk about these people, these things, it's like you're painting a picture with your words. And I always look forward to listening to you, Richard.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's what I try to do. I'm woefully inadequate, but I just keep plugging away, trying to do.
Well, thank you so much. And okay, we'll talk to you next month. Thanks. Hold on.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. See ya.
The lock upon my garden gate, a snail, that's what it is. The lock upon my garden gate, a snail, that's what it is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Anti-aircraft gun pointed to action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
Hotel quarters, all hands at your battle station.
Be nervous, count your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time. Join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show, Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer is a retired professor. He taught logic at many universities around the country. He's a reporter. He's a radio show host. And he comes to us from his home in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're going to hear Jim Fetzer right now.
Mike, Chuck, great to be with you again tonight. There have been several interesting developments related to Sandy Hook. Mike Adams of Natural News published an interview he had done with me 6 or more weeks ago under the heading, "The Most Dangerous Mind in America," interviewing me about false flags and extreme censorship, where he has discovered that people who simply interview me or post videos I've done, have their sites struck or receive, you know, censorship. And it's happened a lot. He discovered that one interview he'd done with me years ago, back in 2015, about the banning of the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, had been hit, and then his whole site was taken down, which had over 1,700 videos. It would eventually be restored, but without some 200,000 subscribers. It's very, very interesting, the discussion thread related to this publication, which I encourage you to pursue. Naturalnews.com, the most dangerous mind in America, because the apologists who want to defend the official account are doing their best to marshal arguments, some of which I've not addressed in the past, and it's a wonderful opportunity for me to explain why they're wrong, and indeed, in some cases, even obviously, blatantly, ridiculously wrong. It turns out that, as we have discovered from the history of science, there can be unexpected confirmations of a true hypothesis. In this instance, it's fascinating to find that Wolfgang Halbig, who, of course, is a former Florida trooper, former U.S. customs agent, former school principal, and nationally recognized school safety expert, has been pursuing these issues relentlessly since a couple of detectives from the local precinct were on his front porch in the gated community in Florida where he resides to tell him they were there on behalf of the Connecticut State Police, and that if he did not stop pursuing asking questions about Sandy Hook, he would be prosecuted. That was the wrong thing to say to Wolfgang. And he's been making steady headway in the meanwhile. For example, during legal proceedings brought in the pursuit of his case against Connecticut for failing to fulfill its obligations under the Freedom of Information Act, he obtained the concession, the admission from Patricia LaLorda, who is the first select man of Newtown, a position equivalent to mayor, not only that the city had not placed the curious sign, everyone must check in, but that it had actually been put in place by Homeland Security, which was extremely revealing because Homeland Security wasn't supposed to have anything to do with this. Although, of course, we've discovered that, in fact, it was a two-day FEMA exercise with a rehearsal on the 13th, going live on the 14th. We even have the FEMA manual for the drill where all the evidence falls into place once you understand why then there was such a sign, because it says right in the manual, everyone must check in, why there were porta potties and pizza and bottled water at the firehouse, because FEMA drills provide refreshments and restrooms, why there were so many with color-coded name tags on lanyards, because that's exactly how FEMA drills identify the players, and why there were parents bringing children to the scene, which would be absurd had this been a bona fide child shooting massacre. In fact, any number of the participants became confused. They put up donation sites already on the 13th for an event that had yet to occur, and Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter's death, was initially recorded as having occurred on the 13th, making his feat in shooting 20 children and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable. Now, Wolfgang has many times observed how they didn't follow the standards for a drill. And of course, there was no surge of EMTs into the building. There was no string of ambulances to rush their little bodies off to hospitals where they could be declared dead or alive. No medevac helicopter was called. The parents weren't even allowed to see the bodies where the medical examiner Wayne Carver, explained they identified them using photographs because he wanted to spare them the trauma of seeing the bodies. But of course, that's ridiculous. He identified them using photographs because that's the only form in which they existed. They fabricated the kids out of photographs of older kids when they were younger. Wolfgang has now turned up a photograph of eight of the Sandy Hook girls, real cute and perky, looking like they're sophomores or juniors in high school. Another photograph of four of the boys, one of whom is very clearly Noah Posner, all grown up, where Noah was made up of photographs of Michael Vabner, his older stepbrother, so call it Michael Vabner, but he contrasts them with the photographs that were presented of them as decedents. Wolfgang's continued to persevere. He has pointed out before, as have others, how the FBI consolidated crime statistics for 2012 at the intersection of murder and Newtown had a big, a fat a zero. While that has been contested by those who claim that a note, a very curious note back in the report, is supposed to establish the deaths that aren't recorded in the actual form, Wolfgang has now discovered that, as you would well expect, the six adults who died or were reported to have died included the principal, a school psychologist, a behavior therapist, and three of the teachers, all of whom obviously would have had pensions, retirement accounts, and so forth that their relatives would have been keen to pursue, has now gone to the Bureau of Labor Statistics of the United States Department of Labor, and under injuries, illnesses, and fatalities for fatal occupational injuries in Connecticut. Not only has he found zero deaths for under 16 years, but when you go to the category for educational institution, in other words, persons who are involved in education and health services, the total number of deaths is one. And I'm quite certain that one has nothing to do with Sandy Hook, meaning they're missing the number of six. Which means, and of course, this involves, you know, financial issues, legal issues, and so forth. This is devastating confirmation that the FBI consolidated crime report for 2012 had it exactly right. They didn't report deaths that did not, in fact, actually occur. And where, in addition, now we have some developments vis-a-vis Parkland, where Sane Progressive, this wonderful woman who does these videos about Las Vegas and Parkland, has now published a recent video in which she explains that she's gone through all of the videos for the Parkland shooting, and that although there are supposed to be 3,500 students there, she can't find more than maybe three dozen who actually appear in any of the videos. And believe it or not, she's checked the calendars for the Florida schools and finds that February 14th was a day with early dismissal, no doubt because it was Valentine's Day, and that the kids appear to have been let out at 1 p.m., which means that the alleged shooting, which took place shortly before the end of school on a normal day, was, of course, completely contrived. This is why you had David Hogg there reporting about his video at 3 o'clock when the other students wouldn't have been there. In fact, it would seem that this was a special group of students where I've established, based on a live leak 52-second video inside a classroom, where you have students doing their best to fake cries. One is nevertheless preoccupied with her bottled water, another with her iPod. You got a kid pulling on his putts. You see what looks on the ground to be a body in blood, but you look more closely and it's fake blood, and the body is all black and is missing arms and a head. In other words, it's a mannequin or a training dummy. And while there are police individuals in police uniforms going back and forth, it turns out they can't actually be Parkland police, who would have been Johnny on the spot to have been there already, because Parkland gave up its police force in 2004. If you want more, check it out, especially a go-to, the natural news story about the most dangerous mind in America, where you'll find several links to expose about Parkland. And, of course, the BitChute program, Sandy Hook Update, Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins. You'll find what you need to know to be current with our research today. Thanks for listening.
And now for another episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Buddy is patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. He's sitting in a grove of trees next to a rotting deer carcass. Can't see a thing, but he can hear that the highway is packed from all the noise. He cranks the Bolshoi Ballet in his earbuds as he snacks on the boiled potatoes he brought for break time, and also sneaks a peek at the crayfish buckwheat blintzes he packed for his lunch. He's got his personal phone pressed to his ear, waiting for a call to St. Petersburg to go through, and the scanner is running, waiting for a message from the Kremlin.
Buddy gets out of the squad car, stands by the side of the road, points up at the sky. Cars slow down, tires squeal, horns honk, vehicles pull over. People get out and look up where Buddy is pointing. Buddy gets back in his car, drives away. Buddy is a Russian spy. Stay tuned for next week's episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Sponsored by Lemon Fresh Borax, also sponsors of On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner, The View from My Piroshki Cart. When your dogs tell you the Russians pooped in the hallway while you were at work, we're there for you, protecting the homeland. Lemon Fresh Borax in the fading yellow box.
Our next guest of the show is Thomas Wortman. Thomas Wortman is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, and we're going to attempt to contact Thomas Wortman in Cleveland right about now. Hello?
Well, hello, Thomas. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Great. You know, in the last few shows, we've talked about historical cases, Pentagon's announcement of black budget programs, and miscellaneous cases across the country. What I want to really touch base on tonight is some techniques maybe the individuals should follow if they're having some of their own sightings. Should individuals have their own sightings? First of all, I want to recommend a couple websites to go to. Number one, hey, I have to do the shameless promotion. I have to promote the Mutual UFO Network, which I'm part of. We go by the name of MUFON, M-U-F-O-N, and you can go to our website, MUFON.com, if somebody has their own experiences or sighting that they want to report. Now, sometimes they also call us MUFMEN, so kind of keep that in the back of your mind as a kind of reminder of what to look for. Now, we don't care if the event happened yesterday, today, or even 10, 20 years ago. We just appreciate the reports and hearing from individuals about their sightings. Another site that they can go to is called the National UFO Reporting Center, which is overseen by Peter Davenport. He also allows individuals to file their own reports. Now, the difference between both organizations is MUFON is an organization which has roughly about 800 volunteer investigators internationally. And Peter Davenport's National UFO Reporting Center pretty much does this on his own, and I give him a lot of credit for the job he does. When cases come into MUFON, what we do is we take and receive the report, and we assign those out to investigators in the region that they came from. Now, the reason I want to talk about proper techniques tonight is right now we're hitting what I consider kind of like the peak time of UFO reports, spring, summer, fall. And that's not to say that this season has any more potential for more UFO reports than the other ones. It's just primarily because of the difference in the weather out there. Like in my area in Ohio, we're just now starting to hit 80-degree weather, and you see more people out walking your dogs, mowing the yards. and being out later at night. So now we're getting into more potential of having sightings come in. I pulled a number of reports we've received so far this year about a week ago. And since January, we only had 35 reports. And on average, we get about 180 a year. Well, since the weather's broken and gotten nicer, we had 10 reports in the last few days. It seemed like my phone was just buzzing off the hook with new reports coming in every few minutes. Should somebody have a sighting? Here's some suggestions we'll make to them. Number one, document the date, the time, and the location. Now, most people out there now have a cell phone with them most of the time. And the great thing about the cell phone is it synchronizes with their network and provides you with an accurate time and date. I mean, this is great from years ago because I used to get reports in years ago before cell phones came out and becoming popular as they are now, where individuals be guessing the time and they could be missing it by hours. So it's really important to get as accurate as time as possible. Also, another thing is people used to rely on watches, which didn't synchronize with any network out there. And again, that provided also potential inaccuracies. I haven't worn a watch personally in years. Now, regarding location, I tell people, please provide the most accurate location information as possible. I mean, I respect the fact that a witness may want to remain anonymous and keep information confidential. But I've had individuals who may have had some great cases that kind of damaged their credibility by providing erroneous data on their location. As an example, I had somebody who had a couple orange objects moving low on the horizon. And he was filming them with his cell phone on video. And it was an interesting video. And I get the report, he gives me his information on where he's located at. And in the video, I was able to extract information regarding his location because inside your video, or for that matter, cell phone pictures, there may be what they call metadata information. Now, in this case, his metadata information provided me information regarding the make, the model of camera he was using, in this case, his cell phone, the exposure settings on it, which is good because it tells me if it's a camera, if it's a time exposure or not, which could cause a problem. And the most important thing I looked at was his cell phone was a fairly up-to-date cell phone that had built-in GPS in it. And it put his exact GPS location in that digital image on there that I was able to extract. And where it destroyed his credibility, not saying it wasn't a great sighting, but he said, here I am at this location, and the information I had said he was 7 miles away. And I went on Google Earth and actually pulled up the exact location he was standing at and said, no, this is where you were really at when you took it. And he doesn't realize how much that damaged potentially a very, very good case if you start giving, in this case, maybe fictitious information or erroneous information. Well, along with that, I tell people, not just give me a location, but give me a direction of view. And here again, I've had some cases which kind of hurt maybe our investigation process by people not giving proper direction, north, south, east, or west. Now, sometimes they just don't know, to be honest with you on here. But don't forget again that you've got a cell phone potentially with you. And a lot of cell phones have an app that goes back to a compass. So in this case, you know, get the direction, north, south, east, or west, what direction the object was traveling. Did it come from the east? Did it go to the west? And give us more information along with that to just say, hey, I saw this interesting light in the sky. Again, use potentially that cell phone compass on you. Along with the compass, angle above the horizon. Now understand, not everybody may be able to kind of visualize like what 45 degrees is above the horizon, 90 degrees above the horizon is. But here's something very simple that they may be able to do. Put your arms out at arm length and kind of count the number of fists above the horizon. And what you do is you kind of record that, keep track of it and say, okay, it's like 5 fists above the horizon. And that may help give us an approximation of how far that is above the horizon, the object you're seeing. Besides the distance above the horizon, another thing that's really important, give us the size of the object. Something very simple they could do is it star-like? is the size of a star? Or hold your arm out again. Is it the size of your thumb? Is it the size of your fist? Is it bigger? Again, give us a good description of what size that object happens to be on there. Distance. Here's another thing that's great. That can be a challenge, especially at night. And even people who have very good backgrounds can make mistakes on distances. Somebody who's maybe even been a pilot may make a error on distance away. But keep in mind, in this case, what you're looking at, the topography of land, the terrain, any landmarks, and say, hey, was this object closer than certain buildings on there? Was it farther than certain buildings? Was there something like mountains in the background? Was it closer or farther away? This may help make a determination on you. I had a case a number of years ago where the object was actually dropping down below a mountain on there. So it gave us an idea how far this object was away. Along with that, document how long the sighting occurred. Seconds, minutes, hours. Was it seen on multiple nights? Again, give us as much information as possible on here, because that's one of the spaces that sometimes I find on the forums that people don't fill out. I saw an object. What time? What date? How long? And a lot of that information may not be there, and it hurts the investigation process. Videos, cameras. Don't forget the cameras in your pocket. One of the people I know that has been in this field for eons, since the 1970s, Chuck, you may remember that old show In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. He was actually one of the guests on the show, and here he's been doing investigations of UFOs for now, 40-plus years. And here he sees an orb low on the horizon that's moving around, and they've seen multiple orbs in this region where he's been at. And he has this camera in his hand, and he forgets to do one thing, raise it up and take a photograph. The camera's aimed at the ground the whole time because he's so fascinated seeing this object. Now, when you take a picture of the object, and I did some things over Lake Erie along this line, I had my camera set up. I took pictures of the objects out there. The one thing I didn't do is I didn't zoom in and out constantly on there. I left the camera at a setting where they could see landmarks, buildings, trees, etc., landmarks in the background to give me a perspective on there. The other thing I did is I stabilized it by kind of leaning against a tree in this case, so the camera is a little bit more stationary because it's very easy to get excited out there when you see something like this. So when I did that, I was filming this object. Again, it was very, very stable. The camera was stable on there. I also remembered that when I wasn't zooming in and out, if I zoomed way in, I was pixelating the image on there, and it made it also harder to keep in the frame. Somebody sent me a video not long ago. It was maybe about a minute long. And when you really got down to looking at the video, there was only about 5 seconds that was really useful because it kept zooming in and zooming out all the time on there. And they kept moving the camera, which caused a problem with our investigation out there. So in this case, I'd recommend not zooming in whatsoever on there. Give us landmarks. Because I've had videos already and pictures already where I've been able to go back, see in this case the image on there, electronically determine a rough idea of how big that object is.
Thank you. And Leonard Moore would say, fascinating.
We'll be right back after this message. Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we join, in progress, another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more.
The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house afire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. Construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with a message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been since 9/11 accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into this scandal. A White House softball team is entering the Beltway Summer League along with teams from the fake Russian Red Scare, ISIS AL, and Bob Al-Qaeda. ISIS Al and Bob Qaeda, Crisis Actors of the Homeland, the MK Ultra Terrible Torturers, Hollywood CIA Movies Propaganda Pandas, the COINTELPRO Chaplains, the Border Patrol Sharpshooters, the Arizona Immigrant Vigilantes Rough Riders, Dick Cheney's Personal Assassination Team Bombers, a team put together by Thane Eugene Caesar and Jesse Jackson, the Kill the Dreamers Dropouts, and the CIA-sponsored Operation Mockingbird Lying Scum Washington Press Corps. Buzz the Space Dog is the captain of the White House Assassins, and plays second base. Ricardo, the space cat, plays shortstop. Rusty the Patsy is the catcher. Mama Pajama Jemima, the MK Ultra trainer, is the pitcher. Juice, the limo driver, plays first base. Muhammad Ali, the terrorist, patrols center field. Spanky, the house alien, plays right. And Skippy, the construction worker, self-taught on YouTube, demolition expert, is in left. The team is coached by Coach President Cosmo Nut, and Imelda Nut is the team cheerleader. The child left behind coaches first base. Morgan Freeman, Secretary of the War of the Worlds, coaches third. The team scorekeeper is Warren Beatty, the Secretary of Getting Things Right. The team statistician, Ralph, the janitor, Secretary of Keeping Things Secret That Should Be Secret. The season starts next week as the White House assassins take on the CIA Operation Mockingbird Lying Scum Washington Press Corps, 1:30 p.m., the Georgetown South Complex.
Join us next week for yet another episode of The Americans, and we will see Coach Cosmo Nut filling in his lineup card with dollar signs, tanks, and boobs. And now please join us for the CBS Nightly News with your host, Gil Scott-Heron. We are sponsored by nobody this evening because everybody we talked to sponsor our CBS Nightly News show this evening would not return our calls, just saying. And we cannot find our regular host, Brian Williams. He might be over there somewhere. Do you really care? The revolution will not be televised. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and Skip. Skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Wood and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mays pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color television into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32, a report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers in the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers in the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, the Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant. And women will not care if Dick finally gets down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of hairy-armed women, liberationists, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb, Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, a tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight the germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live. Tonight's program is sponsored by the good folks at Body Bag Underarm Deodorant. You can smell some of the people all the time, and you can smell all of the people some of the time, but you never smell any dead people any of the time with a spray or a dab of Body Bag. One has to be quite naive to accept the false glory bestowed on dead troops who die for nothing, for phony wars based on lies, and that's where we come in. Not everyone is that stupid, so there's Body Bag. It covers the dead, makes everything lemony fresh instead. As long as the American population remains proud that their relatives serve as cannon fodder for the military-industrial complex, there will be rows of Body Bags in your household aisle. But that's where the money is. And so there's Body Bag, a division of Martin Marietta, thick enough to cover the dead. Our thanks also go out tonight to a new sponsor, Bazooka Up the Wazoo, the new patriotic toy your child will want this coming Christmas. You better believe it. Don't be the only one on your block without a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Everyone has a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Even Grandma's got one and Grandpa, too. All the neighborhood kids will want to do their patriotic duty and find a mix. Bazooka Up the Wazoo, because every terrorist and tarnation has a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. They are hard to find. Already as hard to find as any Tickle Me Elmo. Look under the front porch, in your next-door neighbor's bedroom window, in all carry-on luggage, in any cell phone or email conversation. Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Don't come home without it. And now letters in a Boone's Farm bottle, messages from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From Ferdinand in Fargo, we hear, the kind of people we have running our government, if we really knew the truth, I believe we would be astonished. Forget about George Washington and the cherry tree, Ronald Reagan making America strong again, the George Bushes riding into the baseball game on national TV to throw out the first ball, then sitting in the front row. Forget about Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the new liberal Democrats who care about you. SpongeBob, The Simpsons and South Park, Calvin and Hobbes, Snoopy have more to tell us than those guys. If you really want to be a true American, you need to know what the CIA has done in other countries, supposedly in our names, and make sure to read your William Bloom. You need to know what happened to Gary Webb after he wrote a story about CIA drug running in Los Angeles, a story that ran in the San Jose Mercury News when the Webb was first getting going in the early 90s. I remember reading that when we first got America Online, and I thought, wow, here we go, and then that was it. Now the main media is worse than an underground junior high newsletter. There is reason to wonder if we really went to the moon and that the government has been withholding information about UFOs, at least in the Soviet Union, when they saw nonsense and lies printed in Pravda and TASS. At least they knew they were lies. We are still at the infancy stage in our development of not questioning the lies. And by the way, Bigfoot is real, I guarantee it. Bigfoot is real. And each of the millions of high school history books in the bottom of millions of hall lockers are make-believe. That is really where we are. That is really who we are. And so the next time there is a bombing or a threat of a bombing or a bunch of blue backpacks found in Bemidji, the healthy American, the true American, the real American thinks CIA, FBI, the police. The real patriot refuses to stand for the national anthem, and rather than another knee-jerk reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, not until I get some questions answered, because this is important stuff. A letter in a Boone's Farm bottle. Messages we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. And now back to you, Chuck.
Now a shout out to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. See something, say something. What more inspiring words have ever been written? See something, say something. Think of Tom Paine, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Mark Twain. We at the New American Dream want to do our part in protecting the homeland. We realize the folks frisking chunky people coming into hockey games and NASCAR races, and those brave men and women on the front lines of the airport scanner Maginot Line, need our support. So we're initiating program Neighborhood Watch. We know the FBI and CIA and local police are usually the ones bringing drugs into the USA from Central America. We know the FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy. So we know it's the FBI and CIA and local police who we have to look out for. So if you see these government license plates in your neighborhood, call someone. If you see something, say something. Call a Walmart department manager, or maybe that one guy who checks IDs at the Eagles on Fridays. Here are just a few license plates to watch out for. More as they come into us. We burned Waco. We did OKC. We did 9/11. And in the spirit of the whole fair and balanced ethic of the United States media, we also wish to tell everyone about the new American Dream Red Phone, sponsored in part by Nike. As much as we like to talk, we love to listen, especially to those brave men and women in uniform serving to protect us from big bees overseas in over 545 countries around the world, as well as those who protect us on the homeland front from big bees from Mexico. So we have open lines, and it's really only open to the free and the brave, the armies of one, and those being all they can be. If you're one of those, we want to hear from you. Here's the number, Beechwood 45789. And thank you for all you do. This phone's for you. Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. And now from one of our local podcasters. Well, there's so many, it's hard to keep track of them. Good morning, dear people. And good morning, Oakland, California, home of the Black Panther Party. The Panthers are a group that this Midwest boy does not know much about, not supposed to. I've heard that the Chicago police and FBI killed Fred Hampton and Mark Clark at a morning raid in Chicago. The Panthers were an actual threat to power, and that meant they could not exist. Is there anything or anybody out there these days that's an actual threat to these criminals today? I heard Dick Gregory speaking one day in Omaha. He said he did not believe we landed on the moon, and then he said, "They were all tanks on your ass." That was an epiphany for me. I did not believe it at first. If you become effective, if you really challenge them, there will be tanks in your zinnias by morning. I believe we're just about to see how right Mr. Gregory was. Is this heaven? No, it's Ohio. This is Bigfoot Radio, streaming to you on the internet at www.lookingforbigfoot.net. Hello, my name is Jack Robert King. They killed Paul Wellstone. Can feel it all around me, like 98% humidity, like the feeling there's someone in the house who shouldn't be there. They attacked the World Trade Center to put out the Patriot Act, to steal the oil, to rule the world, to impress their long-lost junior high sweethearts. Who knows why? I suddenly realize it. Reach behind me into the back seat to snatch the bad guy who I know is there, but all I grab is air. I can still hear it breathing. Catch a shadow in the rear view. They killed the Kennedys and Martin. Now we've got the books and testimony, but before that, all I had to do was walk down to the Super Value for Mom to buy bread, stand on a milk crate to look into the eyes of the checkout lady as she counted my change. I might have guessed Vietnam was a lie by the glare in Father Tom's eye and the way Sister Margaret rushed by like she was always on her way somewhere to cry. Someone once said that violent is as American as apple pie. Now I know why. Just some small kid from a small town thinking nothing ever happened here when actually I was right in the middle of the action. The baker bombed Iraq. The barber gunned down Bobby and the four little grandmothers in blue flower dresses, green metal chairs in that row of white porches on Sarah Street. Sliced the throats of children in El Salvador in their spare time during the summer in the 1980s. You can see it in their eyes, dull and dead, not from seeing too much of the world, but too little. The robins are tweeting on the front lawn, puffing their red chests into the sun. Their song, Hang the Niggers. On the days we bombed Iraq, the farmers' co-op elevator dryers hummed a happy tune. The coffee drinkers smiled across from mica tables, asked for more cream, please. And for the 10 years in between, while children died from the sanctions, from no food or light or heat or love or prayers or Hardee's, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Smith went to work each day, drove on the right hand of the road, smiled, kept their desks in order, and were not considered suspects. They really, truly stole a presidential election in the United States, and our response was to wave at the limousines as they passed by on the TV atop the kitchen counter next to the toaster. They shot down or lasered down Wellstone's plane, and they really did attack their own Pentagon. I see this. I have zero documentation. I don't care. I have all the proof I need from the glazed look in your eye as you struggle to attach the American flag to your car antenna. I understand America by watching you. I know it from growing up in the Midwest of America, from playing baseball and football and riding down the middle of the street with no hands, eating an ice cream cone. The strawberry drips on my white t-shirt, and I don't care. Mom will wash it, clean it up, just as she rinses the blood of 1,000 Chileans from her hands. A lemony spray makes everything smell fresh. I see more than I want to in the referee's face as he prepares the jump ball toss and the smile of the drive-up teller as she helps another customer. Would evil men and women kill in order to gain absolute power? Pretty darn near impossible to believe when they look just like us, sound like us, tell the same tired jokes, and watch the same TV shows. But I do know. I saw it myself. Over the top of my supersized Diet Pepsi, the wild children are being bombed to gooey bits. The mail still arrives at our house at 10. The garbage is picked up at 1. School dismisses at 3:30. And Raymond comes on at 7. I see the banality of evil old Mrs. Schwartz using her tongs to set another fish square into a slot on a lunch tray at St. Mark's Elementary. As a child in Baghdad has his nose blown away by a small bomb he thought was a toy. I do not have a leaked file or a tidbit of information or an inside source. I know all I need to know from seeing your guilty face, staring out into the night while you wash dishes, leaning out the car window to order an A&W root beer, or chasing your children into the schoolhouse with one last admonition. I don't need to know Barack Obama or George Bush or Karl Rove. I know you. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We are glad that you joined us here tonight. We hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you do, all the interviews, the technical stuff, everything that makes this show possible. And thanks to our guests, Jim Fetzer, Richard Flamer, Thomas Wortman, Phil Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you'll find information about all of our regular guests. Also, the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N magazine.us. If you would like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Kaladash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawkstrom. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Yellow is the color of my true love's hair in the morning when we rise. In the morning when we rise, that's the time, that's the time I love the best. Blue is the color of the sky in the morning when we rise. In the morning when we rise, that's the time, that's the time I love the best. Green is the color of the sparkling corn in the morning when we rise. In the morning when we rise, that's the time, that's the time I love the best. Mellow is the feeling that I get when I see her. When I see her, oh, that's the time. It's a word I rarely use without thinking. Without thinking of the time, of the time that I love. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
What do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country was founded on great ideals and principles. They've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation needs a revolution, Jimmy. The American dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means.
Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
This is the people's war. This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener support.